请问大家，
a couple things related to the morning show. So, and the Project Joy quotes. I had this interesting experience the other night of I was going to bed and I was recording about the quote, and it was one of those quotes that had to do with joy. And what I recognized as I was going to bed was I was really just kind of depressed. And what was interesting was it didn't feel like there was any conflict.
So that was just kind of not a problem.
Yeah.
It's just how you were feeling.
It was how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think what it was that there's a joy in just being okay with how I was feeling. Uh-huh. That just felt like a really nice recognition. Like I didn't have to make myself feel a certain way because that's what the quote said that day.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, because in a way you did that by not doing that.
Exactly, yeah. And the other thing, it was a fun recognition this morning. So 4 mornings a week I go either to yoga or to the gym. And so when I'm doing lunch dishes, I listen to the show from that day. And I was noticing that there are so many people, you know, who call on it's really fun and talk about how much it means to them, the show. And the dailiness of it, the practice of it, the quotes, and just that sense of being part of Sangha. Mm-hmm. And so as I was doing the dishes today, I thought, you know, the reason I do yoga and the reason I go to the gym is because I won't do that on my own. So I go there because someone instructs me, someone challenges me, I am pushed farther than I would be on my own, and I'm surrounded by other people. Whether we talk at all, even, I'm surrounded by other people doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do these things, you know. It was just so fun to see the same process in another context too. Mm-hmm. And so what arose for me was just gratitude for, and to keep my eyes open for all the places where there is Sangha. Mm-hmm. You know, all the places where life supports us like that, mm-hmm. that we can kind of take for granted. Mm-hmm. And not make the connection that this is yet another place where we have people, and we have trainers, and we have challenge, and we're invited to go farther and grow. Mm-hmm. And those places are numerous. They're not just in one place. Mm-hmm. It was just really fun to feel that and see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. to me, the thing that the morning show offers that a lot of other things don't is actually being in conversation with other people as they are having that experience.
Oh, totally. And I'm not saying it's exactly one to one.
But
like it was just realizing how many opportunities life provides, mm-hmm. that I can start thinking of as some sort of separate category. Mm-hmm. Oh, I go to the gym and then I go home and I listen to the radio show. But they're a continuous process of life supporting us.
Yes. Many things that call us to be at center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't have to be, of course.
Yep.
Probably there are a number of people anywhere kind of grousing around about whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's always an option too. Mm-hmm. And so if we realize that this is one of those moments when we can actually be here participating and receiving and giving and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you, I thought about this a little bit ago, that we've made a decision based on that morning show that so much of Sangha is engaged in that morning show that they are not the numbers calling into open air.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. That makes sense in a way.
It makes perfect sense. And so we've had a number of requests to continue seeing through the eyes of love, mm-hmm. which is different because that's primarily focused on the political and how people are doing with that and how to be with that from place unconditional. So that's what we're going to move that over to. So, people can certainly still call. if they've got whatever they've got going on. But it'll be a forum, because with the morning show, somebody was griping about, well, but all you can talk about is the subject of the morning show. Whereas with open air, you know, you can talk about anything. You're not limited. And so we don't want to take out that element, but it's a place for those people who have been saying, but seeing through the eyes of love was different, mm-hmm. and we're still having that same experience. So it didn't end at the New Year's retreat. So anyway, we're gonna do that. And there are a couple of folks who have contacted us specifically to ask. And we're going to invite a couple of those to get us started. One is a therapist back east who is just dealing with that with her people. They all come in and they're completely depressed. And so can we have a conversation about that? So we'll invite a couple of those people and then launch that, but making it clear that still, mm-hmm. you know, somebody just texted me today, and a friend of hers has a husband who is addicted to cocaine, and that's really hard for her, which many of us could probably sympathize with. And so, you know, she's still encouraged to call in, but there'll be more of an opening for that. So I think that's going to be fun.
Evening, huh? Hmm? Still on Tuesday evening?
Oh, yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, same open air, but just
cool. More
of an invitation to that.
Well, it's a huge support. Mm-hmm. It's just a huge support. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me, you know, as I encounter other people, to realize every day that's available. Every day that's available. Mm-hmm. Almost no place else is that going out, Sherry.
No. Yeah, we do hear that. Yeah, it is extraordinary. And Ashwini said to me recently, we're not going to be able to stop this, are we? I said, probably, maybe not. That's going to be difficult at the end of the year. Of course, who knows? You know, we're, 5 weeks into it or something like that, and the crowds are still huge. Another 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, maybe the crowds won't be so huge. I hope they are. Mm-hmm. I hope. And if that's the case, then, of course, we'll figure out a way to continue something like this, but it's pretty exciting, and the all over the world nature of it.
Know.
You know, the people in Europe can now join us with their tea.
Australia
getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be able to talk with us. So, yeah, it's very nice. I like it a lot. Sequoia,
I just want to say that I think it's the only year long retreat I remember that at 3 months people are still writing to see if they can join.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
And are you letting them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that good?
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the word is kind of out. And I think that's what has happened to open air. People just kind of shifted over to the year long. So, I mean, there's still people, but just not in the same
not
way.
Not the same way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's very fun. I didn't know people were still joining.
Yeah. Someone just joined last week, just wrote in and said, can I still sign up for the year-long retreat?
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, good. Thank you. Cameron?
Yeah, I do exercise with a group, and I've heard a number of people say the very same thing, that they, if they don't go to the group, they won't do their exercise. So it really is kind of a song of kind of
support.
Thing, support, when, mm-hmm. when you've got the energy is mm-hmm. bigger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had an experience with the morning show of kind of being able to absorb something that I kind of knew intellectually, but I had the experiential experience. And we've had a couple of shows now that are a couple of the assignments have had to do with kindness and mm-hmm. in being extra kind to yourself and so forth and so on. And what I experienced that I already kind of knew on some level was that the greatest kindness is simply to be present.
Mm.
to the being and to everything that the being encounters and beyond, seems to have more kindness and when present, when here, when not having that conversation going on that isn't kind.
Yes. Yeah, and because there's no separation, right, anywhere. So people get fooled into thinking they can be in a nasty conversation inside their head and be okay outside.
Meet somebody and be kind.
Yeah. Or just walk around giving off kind vibrations. And it really doesn't work that way. So when we do come back to the kindness inside, then it just flows everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, it seems like it's all the kind of words that we have for love and joy and all of that seems to be where that happens is in the present moment. And so it just wraps up the notion to just focus on being present. Being right here.
And that's funny because again, since there's no separation, it's not as if, and conditioned mind again would like us to assume this and not look into it too closely. If you're here, then everything that is has full access to you. You really don't need to be doing anything in order to receive. In order to be a complete part of. But there seems to be that. People get fooled into, I need to be thinking about these. I need to be figuring these things out. I need to be, you know, that this is the way, so we could even figure out how to be kind, more kind, and really work on that. And of course, that's what's closing everything off. Whereas if you just get here and nothing else is going on.
Yeah, I think that's what the experiential part was. That it's not that you have to be kind and then over here
do something.
Yeah, and over here you want to be unconditional loving or compassionate. It's like presence is the
yes, well it's the stepping into that, right?
Yeah.
So when you're present you're in kindness.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
You're in the unconditional.
Right, right, yeah. Nowhere to go, nothing to do, just... And you've been saying it for years, you know, all the time. It's always, the answer is always, get here. And I think I've just got
here. You just got here. Well, yeah, that's good, isn't here. It?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have before.
Yeah, oh, no,
but,
yes,
but we do experience it experientially. At different times in different places, and each time we do,
yeah,
it's brand new.
It's brand new, and it's big inside, and it's
So we might as well have that moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So that that is an amazing thing to have that every single day. It really is. You know that. To have that conversation, which always is really just to me, it just takes me to that place. The conversation is always so kind and so joyful and wise and all of that. And so there you have it, sort of manifested, exemplified,
and we all get to participate in it.
We all get to participate in it, feel the feeling, and then we have this little quote we work with all day so that we can continue to have that experience. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's good.
It's that experience I talk about all the time. It just seems like every year, okay, we've done it. You know, there's not going to be anything else. Right? We've done every kind of retreat, every kind of program, every kind of focus, every kind of... I mean, surely we've done it all. And every year, there's this new something. This year, it does feel like it kind of hit it out of the park.
Yeah, and it's like the sangha just comes right along with it. You know,
oh,
it
yeah.
just feels like there's just amazing.
Practice is so deep now.
Yeah,
it really,
really
is. Yeah.
You feel it, yeah, mm-hmm. each person. And, you know, like that woman, I mean, that smoked the smoke.
Well, I don't know what she was smoking, but she was good.
She had been smoking. Yeah, she felt like she was kind of new.
Yeah.
And yet she was really just...
laid out practice. Right? Here's what you do.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
That just astounds me. How many people there are like that?
I know.
8 years later, she shows up on a call.
Yeah.
And she's just been all that time.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Let it along.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided on her own to get these other supports because she wanted to step up. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Well, and she's talking about it drops in.
Yeah.
I just dropped in that I need to up my game.
Uh-huh.
So I'm doing that. All right. Yeah. Good idea.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm getting to embody and experience that what we're talking about that's going on with Sangha. And lately just have felt so animated and alive. And
you do? Everything does.
Everything does, including me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, I notice I'm laughing more and, you know, just all of these things, I feel like it's just everything's bumped up a notch,
mm-hmm.
like what you are just talking about with Sangha, and it's like, ooh, it's coming through this body too, which mm-hmm. is what you were just pointing to. There's just no difference. So we're all sort of vibrating, we're all sort of, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a heck of a good time,
Yes, because it seems to me like what has happened with practice is that more and more, it's like, we would talk about, people will say, I just have to see how I can fit this practice into my life. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, don't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't bother. You have to fit your life into this practice. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do that, then you're just wasting everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, what seems to be happening? So here comes technology with all of this ability to make all this stuff available to people. And over time, because it went from you go on a retreat once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then do your best.
And maybe you'll get a newsletter.
Yeah, maybe.
In the mail.
Yeah, yeah. And now, you get tweets and you get peace quotes and you get, there's all this stuff coming in. There's 13 years or whatever it is of open air that people can listen to and uh-huh. like that. So here we are now. There's just more stuff and more stuff and more stuff and there's hardly a time during the day when you can't have something of practice to be focused on to help you be here.
Yeah.
And so the result, of course, is what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You're just spending more of your day here. Well, of course, you're here.
Yeah.
But so that helps you.
But that's
although
not even a guarantee.
It's not a guarantee, is it?
No, we all know. But another element that I'm seeing is that there's that wonderful quality of repaying the debt with the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this a long time. I've incurred a deep debt, and
you're doing too, sister.
Well, there's another part of that sentence.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like I'm paying it back with the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can say dirt tootin' sister on
the phone. Yo, dirt tootin' sister. sorry about that. This is my cue.
but you multiply that times everybody that's been incurring mm-hmm. a deep debt. And so you match up with technology, match up with all these people with this deep practice that have been doing it for years and are ready and willing and wanting and all of that to pay it forward. And it's...
I'll tell you something fascinating. I don't know how many people know this. I just found it out. The steward's call, there are 63 people on that call. There are 63 stewards of this practice.
Oh, my gosh.
All engaged in some form of making practice available to the world. Isn't that astounding?
That is astounding. That just makes me want to...
Laugh. Right, because what are you going to do? It's delightful.
It's delightful. Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, all these people who have benefited from practice and they want to participate more from the perspective of making it available to others.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you add another miracle on top of that, that there's the structure in place that they can. And you know, you said kind of about every year you kind of think, oh, we've done it now. Months ago, I was reading through some old writing journals that I had done when I was doing some writing coaching back years ago. And the prompt was, what I want, or something like that. Anyway, and one of the things, this is many years ago, I was writing, and part of that little essay was, and I want to be doing whatever Living Compassion is doing, because I don't know what creative thing they're going to come up with next, but there's always something. You know, so it's not just recent.
It didn't just happen.
It's been going on, you know. I mean, when you think back, you know, it's just like a storybook of creativity.
It's like a karma wheel rolling away from suffering.
Yeah, right in the good direction. And just thank God, and, you know, we got
everybody else.
And everybody else that we the wheel picked us up, and as it was rolling by, or we jumped on, or whatever. But it's true. It's just such an inspiring time and inspiring place. And,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, happy blessing.
Oh, happy blessing. Yeah, there's just so much happening.
Yeah.
I was on a call, I guess it was just yesterday and today, with the folks in Cantaloma. Mm-hmm. And it's that same process there, you know, with this girls' program. And they now have 10, I'm probably reading about this, but 10 tutors available so that they can have pods of 5 girls each to tutor them an hour of English and reading and conversation, and an hour of specifics, you know, like math and biology apparently are the big ones. They were for me.
Yeah.
And an hour of tutoring that every day. And all these, I mean, we have 10 people on that property whose English is good enough that they can be tutoring these other folks. That's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And there are girls there, Jen said today, who are reading, and she didn't say reading, it was, I guess she just said who are working at the equivalent grade level in the United States.
Wow.
This is off the charts.
Wow.
So it's that same
process.
And it just feels like this momentum building, and it's just getting bigger and deeper. And
yeah. I would love, we used to talk with someone who would say this is a fire year or a water year or a whatever year, and I don't know what any of those are.
I don't either.
But I would love to know.
I wonder if we could Google it. Maybe other people.
I tried one time and I
wondered. Do you think?
You
can? Penny seems to know something.
Okay, I think you can Google anything.
Well, that's true. Good point.
I tried that one time and I couldn't quite decipher the ways, but... But I would love to know what is going on, because there's something going on.
Something big.
Something
coming
big.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just
very fun. I wanted to say that it's, and I don't even really know what it is, except I think I am one. It's a rooster year, you know, in the Chinese, whatever.
You're the rooster.
The year of the rooster.
Yeah, year of the rooster. Yeah.
I wonder what that means. I'm sure we could Google that.
Yeah, the rooster has some characteristics, and I think I've won, and I don't remember it because
it's a year thing, right? What year?
Yeah,
it's
the year you're born. Everybody born in the same year has the same
animal.
Yeah, but what you were saying about how you can point to all of this that is happening, all of this big swell of positive, big energy that's including a lot of people. Seems like it certainly speaks to the, so many people are depressed about all of this other stuff that's going on, that, you know.
We need to bring them into the fold.
Yeah, that people don't know about that, or don't have exposure to that, and without it, it does look very depressing and horrible and scary.
And once again, without something other than the voices in the head and the media, that sort of thing, life has always been depressing.
That's true.
It's just, I think the comparison for people in Sangha, and I'm sure in other places too, I just don't know about other places, is that it's the comparison. So, you know, before you're doing anything to help you wake up or feel good or, you know, have a positive outlook on life or whatever, you're just kind of slogging. And, you know, you're just surviving and doing whatever you do. So life is just how it is. And it just is. And then you start to wake up and your life is changing. You have a different outlook, a different perspective, right? And you can you feel different inside yourself. True?
Yeah.
And then you're going along and suffering is kind of falling away and you're getting happier and you kind of notice you're laughing more and that sort of thing. And then from that perspective, when the world as it has been for you is no longer the way it has been, the comparison is really dramatic.
Stark, yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's true, but that seems so to me. Because, there have been people in practice for a long time who've been really happy. You know, and coexisting with the world as it is at the time. Am I making any sense at all? Okay, good. but then here's this big upswell of really happy, optimistic, generous, kind, friendly, loving energy running into a lot of not that. I think that's what's particularly hard for people. And I think a piece of that is something that always happens with people in spiritual practice. And that is the belief that when we, first of all, we reach a place in practice and we stay there. Right? That's one. You know, I'll achieve enlightenment and then coast. Right, so I'll get everything all worked out and I'll be happy and then just cruise on to the finish line. And that's a big disappointment when that doesn't happen, right? When you realize I'm in the same place I was in 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say coasting backwards.
Yeah, and so that's a shock. But then you go along at a certain point, there's a sense that now your practice can sustain you through anything. Okay? Because pretty much we don't have that big a challenge. Let's face it. Right? Would people agree?
Yeah.
I mean, generally speaking, you know. Now, of course, if you have something personally that happens where, you know, you get a diagnosis or you suddenly lose all your money or, you know, one of those kinds of things, then there is that, ooh, is my practice going to take me through this? Well, it's handy to be a Buddhist because a loss of faith is not something we have to deal with. Right? A loss of focus or attention or the commitment, yes, but not a loss of faith. So that's very good. But will my practice sustain me through whatever is going to happen? And for a lot of people, because not a lot of terrible stuff happens on a regular basis, yeah, it does. And so life gets pretty easy and comfortable. Is this true? Are people nodding? Yeah. Yeah. And then, all of a sudden, there are very big life circumstances that are completely out of one's control. And then there is that question again. Yeah, but what if something really big happened to everybody? Will my practice sustain me through that? And that, not even perhaps the question so much as the assumption that it would, and then running into the reality that it isn't.
Isn't sustaining?
Isn't. The depression, the wanting to give up, the hopelessness, the despair, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you said that launched me on that. Do you?
I said something about that people are focusing right now on this thing that seems really negative, this new administration and all that, which it is if you don't have any other thing you're looking at.
If that's not what you want.
If that's not what you want, yes. Yes. And most of the people that I encounter, that's the case. So that's what, yeah. But knowing that what we're talking about here with these 63 people that are stepping up to be stewards and all of the practices happening and people that are, and you know, this is just a little pod, basically. There's probably a lot of that everywhere. So there's that people don't know about.
That's right. That's
about
what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so coming into that, that support, that influence, and not just positive, but really facing whatever, in the same way we always have, mm-hmm. right? It's really facing whatever is mm-hmm. going on and finding a way to bring that mm-hmm. into center, into well-being, into acceptance.
Honest and authentic.
Yeah, and still be how we choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been noticing that all along, you know, with the sustainability segment that's kind of underground. You don't, you know, unless you're interested in it, you know, and know that there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of good things to counteract a lot of the other bad things. You just don't know it, but it's going on. It's mm-hmm. going on, and it, you know, there's a lot of really goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was that? The Baskin Robbins guy, wasn't it?
Oh,
John. Was that his
ben
name?
Ben and Jerry.
No,
Baskin
Robbins.
That's another ice cream.
Yeah. Who did the book a few years back, where he was. Tracking all of the people around, you know, not obviously not all of them, but that was his point. He wrote a book on the various things that different small groups of people are doing all over the world, the good things that people are doing. And kind of, I think the point being, well, one, you find out about all those things, but two, there are way more mm-hmm. than we would ever, mm-hmm. ever dream about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a video a while back. I can't think of the man's name. He's very famous in the sustainability world. But at the end, he was giving a talk, and the film was his, a video of his talk. And at the end, they ran, you know, like kind of like the credits in a movie, they ran all the names of these organizations all over the world. And it went on and on and on.
It was enough goodness already.
No, I mean, it was so impressive because you don't know if that's going on.
That's right.
And so it was just like this waterfall of names. Mm-hmm. And those are just names of organizations. Inside the organizations, there's lots of people doing lots of good.
Yeah.
It was very, it really touched me a lot just to see that.
Mm-hmm. The frogs are back.
I know.
They know in 1 week it's going to be light at 7 o'clock.
Can I give another wildlife report from the monastery?
Yes.
Today I was sitting where you're sitting, riding a sit. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something large move into that window, like just walk past. And I turned, and it was a very, very large turkey. Just behind it was a second very, very large turkey. And I turned, and they both turned, and looked just straight in. It was the most magnificent sight. It was difficult not to laugh. I didn't want to disturb my fellow meditators. And they just walked past, hung out here for a little while, and then, you know, exit stage left. It was just beautiful. I've never seen them.
And they didn't make a sound?
Quiet sounds, just the sounds of them. No loud gobbling, just quiet, sort of fluttering around.
Big,
but well, I've never seen them right
now. I actually had that same experience today. I was over doing something at June's, and I walked out the door, and there were two of them in her yard. Oh, and they just, just really raised a ruckus. Uh-huh. But I wonder if it's the same, because it was just two of them.
Yeah, it's not all that.
They're looking for a home.
Maybe looking for a place to meditate.
Yeah, checking out the neighborhood. Yeah. They're huge.
Yes,
yeah.
Like small ostriches.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Not very much smaller. That was the sight. And I wanted to tell everyone.
And you didn't have your phone. It is fun. We do have quite a little menagerie here, don't we?
Yes.
A lot of folks stop by.
A lot of folks. Yeah, they're wonderful. Let's see. I'm having a big practice time and seeing a lot. And seeing a lot in the way that I know I wouldn't be seeing it if I wasn't.
It's like not going to yoga or the gym, right? It just wouldn't happen.
I wouldn't be seeing what I'm seeing if I wasn't in the situation that I'm in and doing what I'm doing. It just
wouldn't happen.
Wouldn't happen. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that awareness, and also the challenge of losing touch with that awareness.
Mm-hmm. The challenge of not losing touch with it?
Well, or the, what it's like when you do lose touch.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Just some of these awarenesses are like seeing, like, things break down to this really basic process level. You know, kind of seeing this whole orientation to life being revealed, that's just been going on, you know, under everything as the process.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kind of big awareness about that, and just seeing how it's kind of controlling so much. And it seems to be, the best way I can describe it is, an orientation to life of an infant, so not a small child, but an infant, kind of clinging to life. or I've heard talk in practice a little bit about coding, but I don't know exactly what it is, but this dropped in with this. It's like an infant code into life, checking out if it's still going to be there, and like, is it going to give me what I need to survive? Yeah, just seeing that play out in all of these different ways.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah. So it happens around food. It happens around communication. So it's like I notice that there's this state that gets triggered really quickly and really easily by a lot of things, which is like a feeling of the panic of being abandoned. So checking to see if somebody's going to reply to something that you've written. And a whole, you know, where I notice there's like a, oh, what's going on with that, you know? Because what I notice is how that level of whatever it is just gets maintained. Do you remember we were talking at some point about the karmic conversation that creates the behavior that keeps the conversation in place, that whole thing? So it's like what I notice is so the story is about wanting connection or whatever that is, and all the behavior is pushing that away. Mm-hmm. And then that creates that drama of, are they still going to be there? Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Oh, so it's almost testing.
It's testing. It's creating these challenges and these situations of testing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I noticed it. So for example, in the dissertation project that I'm working on, there's one of the people on the committee, kind of advising the project, supervising it, helping with it, who I just find is really, really helpful. I can go in and talk to him, and in 5 minutes, just, you know, his insight and inspiration and motivation and like that. And I just so often get stopped from communicating with him, like completely shut down. And then it's like, it pushes and pushes until there's like this test of my body. You might say, well, actually that's enough, you know, you can't keep doing that or whatever. It's like this orientation of, so I get stopped from communicating, stopped from showing up, and then there's that test to see, is this thing, is this person still going to be there? And it's awful.
Yeah, awful. Yeah, that would be a good word.
Yeah.
If there's one kind of way past that, though, that would be good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. So,
I'll reject you, I'll reject you, I'll reject you, I'll reject you. Are you still going to be there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, then I'll reject you again, and reject you again, and reject you again, reject. Now are you going to be there?
Exactly. So the story isn't, I'm rejecting you.
No.
No.
No, that wouldn't.
That wouldn't work. But that's what's being played out. Mm-hmm. And it's like this orientation to life of, I'm not going to show up, I'm not going to show up, I'm not going to show up. But when I do decide to show up, you are going to still be there,
right? Right, you're still going to be there waiting for me.
Still gonna, because I'm so good and special, right? So how could you not? Mm-hmm. It's like that.
Or I'm going to push it until you're not.
Yeah.
And then it confirms everything. And all then, the stories, well, you know, nobody's ever cared about me.
Yeah.
Karma. Damn.
Well, it's good that you say karma and not you.
Oh, yeah, this had nothing to do with any of the us's that are yous.
Yeah. But it does feel like a karmic pattern.
Oh, definitely a karmic pattern.
Has that.
You know, it reminds me of that one that fascinates me. I've probably talked about it here, but if everybody could figure this one out, this is big, okay? That karma gets us to do the very thing that karma says we don't want. Have we talked about this? Yes. Is this familiar?
Yes. This.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a perfect example, right? So I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to be abandoned. I want life to be safe and secure. And then I'll just do behavior after behavior after behavior that's going to result in exactly the opposite of that until the karma gets to say, see?
See, I knew it.
I knew it all along.
I knew it.
Nobody's ever going to be there for you. It's never going to work. You're never going to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. And there's a feeling of doing those pushing behaviors that I know, and it's like I have this feeling of, I know there's something going on here, and I have this feeling of I can't stop doing it, mm-hmm. which I know isn't, you know, but
well,
it's
we can't until we see it.
Yeah.
We can't, because as you started out describing it, you know, it's underground.
Yeah.
So. I mean, go back to the time when it never occurred to us that there was anything going on other than what we were hearing inside our heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you start breaking that down and realize this really probably has almost nothing to do with what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. This is just a cover story, mm-hmm. right? This is just something to keep the attention focused on while all the rest of the stuff is acted mm-hmm. out. So then it all becomes more conscious and more conscious and more conscious. And as it does, we have a chance to actually have a different relationship with it, but not until it's in conscious awareness.
Yeah.
And that karma, of course, is just doing everything it possibly can to keep all of this out of conscious awareness.
Yeah. And now that it is starting to be in conscious awareness, we stay here, and that's the way that a different behavior can come through.
Well, that's what breaks it up. Exactly. That's what breaks it down.
Yeah.
Right. And it's so interesting because, you know, with each one of us, what's going on is not complex, right? Except us. That's the only place where there's any confusion.
Yes.
Right? So, we could ask pretty much anybody, anybody we know, all right? We could ask a lot of people, it wouldn't be a good idea. But they would say to us, okay, well, what you're doing is da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So if you want a different outcome, you need to do da-da-da-da-da. Are we going to do it? Hell no. No way. Even though at a certain point we might acknowledge that, yeah, that is the right answer.
Yeah.
But I can't.
I can't. It's too hard. I can't.
Yeah. Or I don't really understand. Or but and then go through the story one more time, right? But the reason that not is, and yet it's really straightforward. If you want this to happen, then you need to do this. You're doing this, and that's why that's happening. If you want something else to happen, then you have to do this. Right? It's the Christmas Humphreys. You know, we all know what the answer is, but we don't want that answer, so we just ask more questions. Right? We're going to ask questions until we get the answer that karma wants,
yeah.
Or die, which karma would really prefer.
We're going to keep.
Oh, well, what karma will do is attempt to keep us in mm-hmm. anything other than doing what's going to undo the karma.
Yeah.
Or we die. And karma is perfectly happy with that one. Because mm-hmm. the karma will go right on. Right? We'll die, but the karma will go right on. So our only hope is to end the karma. Otherwise, it'll kill us. Which everybody knows it's trying to do all the time, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good news that this is coming into conscious awareness.
Very good news. Yeah, very good news. Yeah. And it's such a, I think, didn't we talk about that? I think we talked about it in the morning show today. That that whole thing of crossing that line where it becomes exciting. Yeah. So I know that what it's doing is diametrically opposed to what is good for me. Yes. So I'm going after it. No, I'm going after it. I'm going to fight. Until then, you know, it's just hide out and hope it doesn't, and yeah, it does, and oh, I don't know, and it's their fault.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a movement that I'm starting to feel, which is feeling like there's a, let's see, so when you said, I'm going, it's what it's doing is diametrically opposed to what's good for me. So there's the place of being identified with the karma and feeling like an awful piece of
person. Awfulness.
Awfulness.
What the turkeys left on the porch. We know they did.
And so from that place, there isn't. That's not going to come from that place. And then there's a place of starting to feel like in touch with there being a human here to do that for. That's not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Yeah. Until we, want to work out our own salvation diligently, there's really, but we've all made that choice, right? So we don't have to worry about that. And now it's just working out the details of it.
Yeah.
And getting clearer and clearer about things like, if there's a compulsion, that's not the direction, right? So if I can't, if I can't not read my email first thing in the morning, uh-huh. or if I can't go to bed before midnight, or if I can't, you know, those, I mean, people, you know, that's what people talk about. These, yeah. you know, I really want to, but I can't. And so that's the place where we have to go after it. And until we reach that point of clarity, again, we're trying to hide from it and pretend that it's not so, and maybe it'll go away and it's not really that big a problem. But yeah, it is. And so I have to face it, whatever it is. Yeah. And at that point, I think it gets exciting. Just now you're fighting for something worthwhile.
Yeah, that went in. Thank you.
No, you didn't.
Okay. Now, there was a lot. I saw a lot of my own karma in that. Mm-hmm. A lot.
Now, keep in mind, it's not yours, of course.
A lot of karma. General karma in that. I've been looking lately at this, just this push to stay, karmic push, I don't know, to stay in comfort, you know, and to, it seems like just getting a standing back and getting a picture of, it seems like a lot of effort spent trying to keep this comfort position since I came to the monastery, you know. How can we maintain this comfort?
And which is just hideously uncomfortable, right?
Hideously uncomfortable.
Yeah, because if you really want to be comfortable, just be comfortable.
What a concept.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, it sounds silly, but it's really true.
It is true.
So many people say, I really want to be happy.
Exactly.
And then they make every choice to be unhappy.
Yep. Yeah, it's that.
So it's not comfort. It's not comfort. I want it my way. Mm. I want to be in control. Mm-hmm. That's what's really happening, isn't it?
Yep.
I want to be in control. I want to have a particular experience, and that's called comfort. Because if it were called egocentric, selfish, obnoxious, my way or the highway, it just wouldn't have that same agreeable feeling to it.
Acceptable.
Yeah, so because it's called comfort, it can just run you through the ringer all day long because it's comfort. I mean, who would want that?
Really?
Doesn't seem like such a bad thing.
But yeah, exactly. You know, and it goes to the story. Don't I get a little bit of comfort? I mean, for goodness sakes, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that victim sort of thing, like, you know.
Yeah, and what is it talking about? You can tell us. What does it mean? Can I get a little bit of comfort? What does that mean?
It's just what, and I know it's run this entire life of like, well, if you had this and this and this, then you could, you'd be comfortable and you could relax, but it's never.
It's always something that doesn't happen to be here at the moment.
Right. Yeah.
And so when you have, I can only guess there's. Some of them are things that you don't have at the monastery. Is that the case?
Just a few things, yeah.
And so when you did have those things, uh-huh. Were you comfortable?
No, see, that's the thing.
I suspected that.
You know, it's this whole, it's never been the right place, the right time, the right experience. Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. Never, never, never. Doesn't matter what was going on.
I think my contention is the correct one.
Yeah.
You just need to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So, wow, this is great. Ooh, this comfy little cushion. Here I am.
Cold room.
Exactly.
Comfy.
I love this cold.
I love it. Hey, I just found out, I've told everybody who listened to me that this my new favorite book, The Geography of Bliss, right? People in cold climates are happier than people in warm climates.
Really?
Everybody believes that they want to go to a tropical island. This is a moderate climate is the best climate for producing happiness.
Hmm. Interesting.
So there. You have no reason not to be happy, okay? In fact, you should be blissful in this cold room.
Okay. Oh, this room isn't cold.
No, this room isn't cold.
This room is toasty.
We know cold. Actually, we don't know cold.
Yeah. So, okay. I see it. Otherwise, I'd be going off down the road to get warm.
Looking for comfort.
Well,
and truly, I hate to belabor this, although it is something I do well.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, if your orientation is all the ways that I'm comfortable.
Boy, yeah, good point.
Because, right now, looking at myself here, nothing hurts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's comfortable. Mm-hmm. My clothes are warm enough. That's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had dinner. That's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, just because what you describe is that no matter what you've done in your life, that system has been there to make something uncomfortable.
Because that's what the attention is on. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like it's the same with the political situation. It seems like everything is uncomfortable because that's all that's being seen. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, just going back, I don't know whether this has anything to do with anything, but I think it's really fascinating that there's this situation going on politically, and there's like something else going on that's so awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean,
something else is going on that's so awesome.
That, you know, that consciousness seems to be expanding at such a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. Is what,
at least in our world.
In our world. And it's the only world.
That's right. That's the only one we have. So that's the one we care about.
So,
and we're comfortable in it.
And we're comfortable in it. So, thank you. That is a big part of it.
Yeah. It's just in that karmic world of opposites, mm-hmm. that dualistic. Mm-hmm. So it claims that it's going for comfort, mm-hmm. but it's so clear that it's going for discomfort.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, it's going for disconnection. It's going for abandonment. It's going for all of that. And mm-hmm. I see that. You know, mm-hmm. playing out.
So when we were on the colors, you know, uh-huh. today every time you see the color red or color blue or whatever, so now you can just look for comfort.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I like that. Okay. Look for comfort.
Yeah. I mean, make sure your socks are comfy, cozy, and your, mm-hmm. you know, your clothes are comfy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's comfortable.
I have. I usually go for comfort and not style, it seems, but yeah, I will.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in you.
I have a couple more things before we end.
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to say the ongoing workshop of the grandchild. I am come to this place. It's like it's so hard for me to imagine where I was at with it. 3 weeks ago, a month ago when he was born, I've had this epiphany of like, of, you know what? I would never want to give him the gift of my sorrow or the, you know, the mm-hmm. gift of my suffering over his birth. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, what I want to give is joy. Mm-hmm. And I choose to not suffer anymore over that, and it feels really good. I mean, it's
good.
It feels I'm fine with it. You know, no need to dabble in that whole family thing.
And I've made it clear that if you really want a grandchild, like if you want a blind,
exactly, okay. Exactly.
You can have your pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny. It's also brought up a lot of stuff around mortality. I don't ever think of myself as old, really, till I come to scare myself by looking in the mirror. It's like, oh my God.
What happened? What happened to me?
That must be a funhouse mirror. If I just hold it this way over here, no. But when I just realized...
Duct tape. Duct tape and high collars.
Well, if I get too high, then this starts hanging over the top. It's just not a dragon. But anyway, I don't even know what we were talking about now, so it doesn't matter. But yeah.
You don't feel old, but it's brought up mortality.
It just has brought up mortality, you know, and I realized I'm 70 and if I have a grandchild now, and it's like I would not live long enough to see this child become an adult, which is just like, wow, that just, I don't know, that's just kind of shocking. Like, that's interesting. Hmm. Because I just go on and on thinking I've got all of this.
Forever.
So this is brought up forever. Mm-hmm. It is not forever. And I just want to end on a bird story too. I didn't have a turkey visit me, but I have never had this experience in all the years that I've lived out here, but last Sunday morning I woke up and I was surrounded by robins. Mm-hmm. I mean, surrounded. They were sitting on the door handle to my house looking in at me. I had a bucket of rainwater. They were coming over to the bucket and they were drinking and looking at me and drinking and looking at me. And then they just started swooping down everywhere from the trees and around, and they were just gaggling and, you know, going at it, and they were having a big whoop-de-doo.
Wow.
I know. It was just the most amazing thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what.
I could not figure it out. I just sat there, you know. The one guy is just sitting there, you know. He was drinking and swallowing, and he just stood there. He just was staring me in the eye and having a drink and having another drink and another drink. And he was inviting me to drink with him, I think.
Wow. I saw my first robin this week, too. Huh. And my first blue jay. Mm-hmm. Blue jays don't stay around during the winter, do they? I never knew that.
Yeah, they do. At our house.
But do they?
Maybe we're not driven to zone in your house.
Maybe so, because I don't see them all winter. I just saw the first one.
Anyway, bird party.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Do all right. Do what?
Good.
Go.
That's all. Did you have something?
Well, no, I didn't have anything really to add. I was just remarking at that conversation with Anna about just how ego can get us to do what will confirm that what it's telling us is true.
Yes.
When it's not
well
true,
stated.
I know that experience so much. It's just like I do things that I know push people away from me, and that's one of my big things about being rejected and being, you know, kind of, what's the word, shunned and left out in the frozen tundra that be eaten by wolves or something.
Wow.
Well, you know, that's the...
There's a karmic picture.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the kind of shunning stories, but I don't know that word. That word is not active in the time of the time of the world that I have lived in. But that
that's what it feels like to you.
That's what is this big fear of mm-hmm. being shunned, and yet I seem to have worked that out
yes.
You know,
that's a,
feel
that is,
like, yeah.
That's a perfect example of what I was talking about. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's how could you be that clever to know how to orchestrate that? And we don't, it's not even a something. It's just amazing.
Well, it's karma is like a program.
Yeah.
And so to learn those behaviors really doesn't take much cleverness. If you consider it, probably the same kinds of behaviors have happened with most of the relationships in your life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a lot of cleverness to run the same program over and over and over and over and over.
It's like having a pair of lenses on that, you know, are pink. And so you're always seeing pink.
Yes.
So you see the behavior, you see in others what the fears that you project or
yes.
whatever. And it's like, yeah, it just gets, that's what you're kind of actually looking for from when identified.
That's right. And the other person may not be doing anything.
And that's really, totally. Mm-hmm. Not at all. In fact, if you ask them, they'd say,
well, they'd lie.
They would.
I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I mean, that's a joke, but the thing about it is, so you're projecting this stuff onto me.
Yeah.
And you're you're convinced that I'm doing it. And so you say, are you doing that? And of course I'm going to say no. And you know I'm lying.
Yeah.
Because of course I'm doing it.
Yeah. But I'm getting it now. I'm hearing when, you know, that story. I'm hearing it and I'm going, there it is.
Yes.
There it is. It's trying to convince me that that's going on, just like it always has, and I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, there's
calling
karma.
It out.
And you can see why I am obsessive about get out of the conversation in your head.
Ooh.
Because that's the only place that exists. That's
right.
Why it continues to happen.
That's right.
Yeah. Because that reality is being created inside a person's head. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, they believe that that's what's true. Mm-hmm. That's what, as you say, that's what people see then. Mm-hmm. They see what's inside their heads. But if you're not doing that, if you're not inside there, in that conversation, mm-hmm. that's not the world you live in.
Right. That's why it's getting so fun to actually see this pop up in a way and just, there it is. You know, it's that place I think you're talking about of it getting exciting.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then the next step of that is, so you know that you do these behaviors that cause people to reject you. Mm-hmm. And so what you can take up is doing the opposite of that. Not just not doing those behaviors, mm-hmm. but doing the behaviors that would be the opposite to those. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That didn't get the same excited,
well, yeah.
enthusiastic.
I'm not so sure I even know what it is I do exactly that has this.
Well, you know, one of the easiest ways to find out is to ask people.
Yeah, I even asked you on a phone call recently something about my communication style, because I think that has a lot to do with it.
And did I tell you anything?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I rest my case.
I know, but I'm saying that was a good kind of different thing for me to say that out loud.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then you get that feedback, mm-hmm. and you can try that on.
Yeah.
So with something like that, I just was working with somebody who apologizes at the beginning of each sentence and at the end of each sentence. It's amazing how that can get in there that many times. And so, you know, pointing that out, and then can you not do that? That's the first big, can you just not say I'm sorry through first one, a sentence, then two, you know, and then work on a conversation.
Yeah, and that would be the same kind of process to actually catch yourself doing
yes.
it. And first, that would be the first thing, right?
Yes.
It's probably so
to
automatic
hear it.
That it's...
Yes. Just, yes, so we were in a situation where her conversation was going to be recorded. And she said, because I said, you don't need to apologize. She said, I know I do that, I apologize, I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah. And then, so then to listen to the recording, hear the recording and hear it, because it's a habit. I mean, this is not a person who needs to apologize.
Yes.
She has nothing to apologize for. She's an incredible human being. So
yes.
Why apologize? It's just karmic.
Karmic.
And so when we see something like, and then we hear it, as you say, and then you start to recognize it, then you can go in the other direction.
This is a good thing.
This is a very good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.